Good evening, everybody. I heard there was a nice string of Shirin before, a lot of action, so hopefully I will be able to build on the excitement that is muted, but certainly in the Zoom room. So just about a half hour ago, we began the most difficult part of the year, the 9 days. And one of the things that it affects most quickly is dinner for tonight, that we don't have meat starting tonight. And the reason for that is not the same as the other types of nihugei avelos that we observe starting now, or for the last few weeks, about not shaving and about showering and about laundry. Those relate to avelos that even individuals observe when they, rachmana litzlan, lose a relative. Not eating meat is not true by an individual. An avel is allowed to eat wine, drink wine, and eat meat. The reason why we don't have meat and wine during this time of year is to remember that the karbanos and the nesachim, the wine offerings of the Beis HaMikdash, of the Mizbeach, were destroyed along with the Beis HaMikdash. And that's why it's a very apropos topic that tonight we talk about tefillah and the connection that it has to karbanos. Last week we spoke about the connection between our shuls, our Mikdash Ma'at, and the Beis HaMikdash, the larger version. And tonight we'll talk about the connection that we have, what the goals of karbanos are supposed to be, and how we can access those goals through our tefillahs. They tell a story about a man who was having severe memory trouble. So after trying different specialists, finally he goes to a particular doctor who actually makes a real difference. And this man is telling his friend one day how it made a tremendous difference in his memory. And the friend says, well, what's different? What did the doctor recommend? He says, well, the doctor has this new trick where I just have to like search for a word that's related to the one I'm looking for, and I can remember the word through that way. I said, that's amazing. Wow, that sounds really great. Maybe I should see this doctor. Tell me, what is this doctor's name? One second. The doctor's name is, okay, let me show you. You know that flower? That flower. You know, the very pretty flower? He says, petunia? No. That's not it. No, the flower, it's like very, very pretty. He goes, daisy? He says, no, it's not daisy. It has thorns. Oh, you mean rose? Yes, rose. Hey, Rose, what was that doctor's name? So sometimes, I'm happy one person's unmuted. Usually I don't get any laughs on the muted sheer. Which reminds me, let me just make sure everyone's muted. So sometimes it's hard for us to remember something. It's hard for us especially to remember things that we were never alive for. Be it the Beis HaMikdash, be it Karbanos, and therefore we have little tricks, little tips, little things that we can use to help us associate our memories back long ago to reconnect with the Beis HaMikdash and to connect with Karbanos. So there is a well-known concept that the Avoda done in the Beis HaMikdash is paralleled by what we do with our Avoda, our Tefillah, in our shuls and our homes. That Tefillah is a type of avoda supposed to replace the karbanos. This idea is mentioned in source number 3. This idea, I think, is pretty famous. The Gemara records a machlokas, two different opinions about what tefillos were patterned after. One opinion is the avos, that Avram was Mesakeh and Shacharis, and Yitzchak Mincha, and Yaakov Mariv. That one's pretty famous. And the other opinion says that, source number 3, tefillos keneged temidin tiknum, that the karbanos are the source for our tefillos. Now, what not everyone understands, or knows, is that the Gemara concludes that even the opinion that says that tefillos are patterned by the avos has to agree that it's also, at least in part, related to the karbanos. Because the times that we daven, as the Gemara explains in source number 3, are for sure related to the times of the karbanos. Everyone has to agree to that. Furthermore, the idea of tefillos musaf, there's no fourth av. Who is mesakein musaf? So everyone has to agree. Tomorrow morning, Rosh Chodesh, when we daven musaf, that is for sure related to the karban musaf that used to be offered on Rosh Chodesh. So certainly, everybody agrees there's an element of karbanos that we are trying to tap into with our tefillos. And it's pretty well known that maybe tefillah was made up. Tefillah was invented as a way to supplement the loss of no longer having the avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. This idea seems to be explained in source number 4 and source number 5. Source number 4, the very beginning of Pirkei Avos, the very famous idea that there are three pillars on which the world stands: Torah, avoda, and Gemilas Chasadim. And source number 5, Rabbeinu Yonah, in 1200, his commentary on Pirkei Avos, he explains that now that we no longer have a Beis HaMikdash, we no longer have avoda in the karbano sense, our tefillah has taken the place. He has a very beautiful idea. He says, when David HaMelech sinned with Bathsheba, he wanted a way to talk to Hashem and to say he was sorry and get atonement for his avera. Now, even though David lived before the Beis HaMikdash, there was still an option of bringing private karbanos. However, he was not able to because his aver was called bimezid. It was intentional, and karbanos cannot fix for that. So David said in Tehillim, Hashem svasai tiftach, Hashem, open my mouth and allow me to use my words in place of a karban. Rabbeinu Yonah explains, nowadays we're all in that predicament. None of us can offer karbanos nowadays. So that's why Chazal instituted that every one of our tefillos begins, Hashem svasai tiftach. We also say, we don't have the option of bringing karbanos nowadays. Hashem, please open my mouth and allow me to use my tefillah as a way of gaining atonement. In source number 6, one of the other Rishonim, the Rashbates in the 1400s, in his commentary on Pirkei Avos, he says, in this way, tefillah is actually better than karbanos. Because karbanos, we just said, only works for averos done incidentally or accidentally. But our tefillahs, we can even do tshuva, we can even rebuild relationship with Hashem for averos done willfully over and over again. So this is basically things that we're familiar with, the idea that tefillah was invented, perhaps, as a way to make up for the fact that we lost our karbanos. So how is this so? What do we do in our tefillos that is serving as a karban? So really there's two ways that our tefillos are acting as a karban. Number one, in source number 7, the Gemara Megillah has a conversation between Avram Avinu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where Hashem tells Avram Avinu that karbanos are the way to ensure a lasting relationship between Hashem and human beings. And Avram Avinu says, what's going to happen if one day the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, and there's no karbanos, what are we going to do then? And in source number 7, HaKadosh Baruch Hu reassures Avram by saying, don't worry about it. If they don't have karbanos to bring, as long as they read the psukim of the karbanos, as long as they read the words describing the karbanos, that will be counted. And we do this. There's a section in davening that is called karbanos. Shulchan Aruch and Simon Mem Ches mentions the idea of saying karbanos every single day. Mishnah Berurah in source number 8 writes, it's because without a Beis HaMikdash, we read the words of karbanos as a supplement, a way to make up for the fact that we can't offer the real thing. But he writes, it's important that a person shouldn't just do lip service. A person has to understand what these karbanos were. Where were they offered? What type of karbanos are these? And in that way, we can do a partial fulfillment. Our tefillah is saying the words about the karbanos, reading the psukim about the karbanos, and that is a partial fulfillment. Unfortunately, for those who try to say karbanos but come to shul late, it's not always so easy. As the joke goes, when people come late to shul, the first thing sacrificed is karbanos. So that is one way in which that we daven as a way of making up for the avodah, making up for the karbanos. But that's not the only way. Even our regular tefillos, our regular Shmona Esrei, our regular Amidah that we say, that makes no actual mention of any ola or chatas or any type of karban. Even our regular Shmona Esrei, as we've said before, the tefillos were patterned after the karbanos. And this is reflected in so many different things. In source number 9, the Tur, in the 1300s, just lists a whole bunch of them. You don't have to memorize these, just get a sense of how many things we do during Shmona Esrei that are patterned after the karbanos. He writes, we have to have kavana when we daven. We spoke about that. Just like when a person offers karbanos, the kohen has to have special kavana for what he's doing and not think about something else. That would make the karban pigul, would make it invalid, rejected. Number 2, he writes, we stand during Shmona Esrei. Just like the kohanim would stand while doing the avoda of karbanos, we stand in our Shmona Esrei. Number 3, we keep our feet together. Just like the kohanim were commanded not to take large steps up the we don't have steps on the Mizbeach. As Kohanim, we're not supposed to take large steps. We keep our feet together like we're doing the Avodah. Number 4, we have a certain place, Makam Kavu, where we daven, just like the Karbanos have to be offered in a certain place. Number 5, there shouldn't be any Chatzitza. Nothing should interrupt the person. If possible, one should always try to daven in front of a wall or a tree, something that is permanently in place, not to daven out in an open field. People are walking in between. Just like when it comes to the Karbanos, the person has to be directly facing the Mizbeach. And number 6, when we wear nice clothes for davening, be it a hat, be it a jacket, be it a talis, be it putting on shoes for davening, it's like putting on Big Day Kahuna. We are getting dressed up to perform the avoda and to offer a karban, which is called our amidah. So again, you don't have to memorize these, just get a sense of, aside from actually reading about the karban ola, reading the psukim about the karbanos, our actual amidah 3 times a day is supposed to be a fulfillment, a partial fulfillment at least, to make up for the fact that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. And how we offer it, how we stand, how we act, the whole posture, the whole nature of how we daven Shmona Esrei is supposed to be a type of a karban with us acting as the kohanim. Now, in some sense, this whole idea is a slight misconception. Rabbeinu Bachai, in source number 10, one of the Rishonim, points out that people tend to think that karbanos, that the tefillah, was invented after we lost the Beis HaMikdash. There wasn't tefillah before, and tefillah was only made up for the first time, as we said, tefillahs were patterned after the karbanos. That sounds like before the Karbonos, they never used to daven, they had no Siddurim, they had no Tehillim. Not so. Rabbeinu Bachai explains that, of course, they always had the idea of davening, a mitzvah to daven. The Rambam in source number 11 counts it as part of the 248 positive mitzvahs asei daraisa. Mitzvah number 5 is the mitzvah to daven every single day. So what changed? So Rabbeinu Bachai in source number 10 explains that until the days of the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, at the beginning of Bayis Sheni, until that point, there was always tefillah, but it was very, very informal. Everyone davened his or her own thing, whatever they felt like. The idea of having a set text, the idea of everyone davening the same thing at the same times, that is patterned after the Karbonos. Maybe how we stand, putting our feet together, all that is based on the Karbonos. But the idea of davening, calling out to Hashem, having a relationship that is formed through tefillah, is certainly not a new mitzvah. Certainly existed even when we had Karbonos. The Rambam is based on this Gemara in source number 12. Pasuk that we say twice a day in Krishma, we say, Le'ava es Hashem Elokeichem. We have a mitzvah to love Hashem, ula avdo b'chol levavchem, and to serve Him, to do avoda with our heart. To do avoda with our heart. Now that sounds hard. How do you do avoda with your heart? Avoda means your hands, your feet, your muscles, your shoulders. How do you do avoda with your heart? So Mara says, ezo hi avoda shebi b'lev. What kind of avoda requires the heart? Havi omer zo tefillah. Tefillah is avoda of the heart. Tefillah is the way we connect to Hashem. It takes work. Tefillah is a real avoda. We've been spending the last 10 weeks on this topic. Tefillah is a real serious work. It's a real avoda. It requires an effort. But that mitzvah was true long before we lost the Beis HaMikdash. There was always an idea of davening. I mentioned these two sources last week, source 13 and source 14, in the days of Shlomo HaMelech, when they first built the Beis HaMikdash. He already acknowledged, aside from having Karbanos, it was also going to be a base tefillah. It was going to be a house where davening took place. So the idea of davening is certainly not new. And davening is not only a makeup, a way to come and replace the lost avoda of Karbanos. If anything, the reason why davening was chosen to replace the avoda of the Karbanos is because davening is already an avoda. We could have replaced Karbanos with Shatnez or some other random mitzvah, but no, it was very fitting. Tefillah was always a mitzvah, tefillah was always an avoda, and therefore it slides perfectly into the slot that's the gap missing from the loss of the Beis HaMikdash and the loss of Karbanos. That's why tefillah has come to fill the role. But now, we have to ask the important question. What in the world is the connection between tefillah and Karbanos? Hopefully none of us are shechting live goats as we're davening. So, how in the world is tefillah an avoda in the same way that offering Karbanos is an avoda? In what way is tefillah accomplishing formal tefillah? In what way is that accomplishing what our Karbanos used to do? So I'd like to talk for a few minutes about what exactly was the goal of Karbanos, and then explain how our tefillos are doing the same thing, how we are able to tap on some level to that same goal that Karbanos used to be able to do for us. If you want to understand what something is, you look at the name of something, you look at what it's called. The name Karban, what does it mean? So if I asked you to translate Karban, what would you say? So I'll imagine what you're saying, because you're all muted, but I'll imagine people are saying things like, offering.
It's close, no.
Ah, so you're already cutting to the end. This is why I keep you muted, so you don't ruin the ending for people. I'm just kidding. But the typical way people translate, very good, the way people typically translate the idea of Karbanos, people will say in English, offering, a gift, it's a gift to Hashem. Or they'll say it's a sacrifice, right? I think those are the typical, we're not all Israeli. So I think in English, most people will typically translate Karbanos as offerings or as sacrifices. And Rav Shav from Rafael Hirsch in source number 16 explains why he does not like those two understandings of the word karban. First of all, if you want to tell me it means an offering, a gift, that sounds like we're giving something to someone who doesn't have it. Hashem is lacking in some way? He needs our gifts? That's not possible. It's obviously not possible that we are supplying a need for Hashem. So he doesn't like the idea of karbanos being a gift or an offering. And the idea of a sacrifice, well, sacrifice implies you're giving something up, something that really is yours, your hard-earned money. You're sacrificing it to Hashem. Well, we're not really sacrificing it because we got it from Hashem. We're giving it right back to Him. So because of that, Rav Hirsch doesn't like the typical understandings of offering. He doesn't like the idea of translating it as sacrifices. And he explains that in English, there is no real word that really highlights what a karban is. Offering and sacrifice just don't cut it. So like Judy said, he explains that the word is based on the word kurva. The Ramban already way before him, the 1200s in source number 15, already alludes to the idea that a korban is about kreva, the idea of kurva, the idea of relationship, getting close to Hashem. The idea of a karban is a person building a relationship, getting close to Hashem. The problem is, how does it do that? What exactly about taking an animal and slaughtering it and sprinkling its blood on the Mizbeach and burning its fats, how does that accomplish a relationship? I'm sorry to bring up any bad feelings of those who can't have barbecues for the next few weeks, but how exactly does having a barbecue, offering meat to Hashem, build a relationship? He's right that the word korban comes from the word kurva, relationship, closeness, but how exactly does it accomplish that? What exactly is the kurva about offering a korban? And then by extension, tefillah, which is filling the place as an avoda. So, in order to explain how the kurva is accomplished, I want to bring back those two definitions that Rav Hirsch rejected. He didn't like the idea of an offering, a gift, and he didn't like the idea of a sacrifice. But I want to bring back those two ideas and really explain a deeper meaning to share with you some ideas from earlier sources, what those ideas are based on, and how that can actually accomplish the kurva that the word korban relates to. The first idea is about a gift, about an offering, which Rav Hirsch said it can't be because we're supplying Hashem with things that already belong to him. So what kind of gift are we giving him? The Maharal in source number 17 is discussed in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos before about Avoda. And the Maharal says an incredible thing. He says Avoda is not giving something that the master already has. Avoda, Avdus, being an Eved Hashem, being a servant of Hashem, if anything, means the opposite. What is the role of an Eved? What is the role of a servant? The servant is certainly not supplying the master with things that the servant himself owns. Purpose of a servant is to go around and bring the master his pillow, bring the master his slippers, his newspaper, his sandwich, his drink. And even if the Eved has his money and goes out and buys something for the master, in halacha, an Eved is not able to own his own money. Masha kana Eved kana rabo. All of his money belongs to the master. So even if the Eved goes out and buys something, that also really belongs to the master already. And that's the point. What an Eved is doing when the Eved brings things to his master, he is acknowledging that everything already belongs to his master. This is the rightful place. And whatever the Eved gets to enjoy, if it's a snack, if it's a shade, if it's a chair, a nice bath, whatever the Eved gets to enjoy already belongs to the master. So much so that the Eved is forced, by commitment, has to bring the master all the things that already belong to him. And in that way, a karban is doing the same thing. Of course, karban is an avoda. It's an offering. We are giving Hashem the things that, yes, already belong to him. And that is an avoda. Not like I've heard said, well, where's the avoda? Where's the gift if he already owns it? That is the avoda. What an Eved does is brings his master all the things that already belongs to him in an effort to show an acknowledgement that everything belongs to the master. And if that's the idea of a karban, to show Hashem that all the things that we have belong to him, then tefillah is a perfect parallel. Because what is tefillah? I mentioned this source in an earlier shiur, source number 18, the Mabit, in the 1500s, when talking about tefillah rites, the whole purpose of tefillah is to recognize that everything comes from Hashem. If the avoda is to be an eved and recognize it all comes from Hashem, tefillah is exactly that. Avoda shebelev. We internalize, belev, the idea that by turning to Hashem and calling him Rofei Chalei Amo Yisrael, Mevarech Hashanim, he is the one who controls our parnasa, our health, our shidduchim. Everything is controlled by him. And by turning to him and davening to him, we acknowledge it all belongs to him. That is avoda. That is an offering. We are the perfect avadim. I mentioned this source at least twice before, in source number 19, one of my favorite sources. The Maharsha, Meseches Brachos, explains that we stand and daven like an eved, our feet together, our hands together, we're bowed. The whole idea of tefillah is to recognize this very idea of the Maharal. This idea that we are avadim to Hashem, that we bring him the things that are already his, to acknowledge that everything really comes from him. And in that sense, it's one way to accomplish the kurva, the relationship of a karban. We are dependent on Hashem. We need Hashem. That's our relationship with him. We need him. We can't live without him. That is kurva. That builds our relationship when we acknowledge everything comes from him. It was done with the karbanos, and it was also we also do it nowadays with our tefillos. That is one method, one definition he didn't like, which actually can be used to explain an idea of how to have kurva, how to relate to Hashem. The second thing he did not like, which made its way into the title of this year, the idea of a sacrifice. Rav Hirsch didn't like the idea that we call karbanos a sacrifice. If you can imagine a child who gets an allowance from his parents. Every day, his father gives him a dollar. And after a few weeks of building up some money, the child is very excited. It's his father's birthday. He wants to give his father a present to show his father how much he loves his father. So what does the child do? Takes an envelope, puts 15 $1 bills in the envelope, says, Abba, here you go. I love you so much. Polly looks inside and says, "What's this? It's my allowance. I'm giving it back to you." So in that case, no relationship is built. The father doesn't need the money. The father gave the money to the child. Handing it right back to the father doesn't accomplish anything. So if Hirsch said, a karban cannot be a sacrifice, what is the child giving up? What are we giving up when we give Hashem the animals that belong to him? So let's explain with source number 20, what exactly is the sacrifice of karbanos and what is the sacrifice of tefillah? The Meshech Chachma 100 years ago, in his commentary to Parshas Bereishis, discusses the very first and very second karbanos. If you want to get to know something, look at where it first appears in Chumash. Well, Cain and Hevel were the first ones to try to bring karbanos. As we know, Hevel's was accepted, and Cain's was not. And the Meshech Chachma tries to explain why that was so. Hevel offered animals. The idea of animals being karbanos we're very familiar with. Cain tried to offer fruits. And the reason why, says the Meshech Chachma, Hashem did not accept Cain's karban, is because what Cain was basically doing was taking those dollar bills Hashem gave him, putting it in an envelope and saying, here you go. Hashem produced fruits off the trees. Cain takes it off the trees, puts it in a basket, says to Hashem, here you go, here's some of my fruits. So that Hashem doesn't want. What Hashem does want is animal sacrifices that require people to invest their time with the animal. There is a halacha, a person cannot offer a karban until it's at least a week old, until it's 8 days old. During that time, a person has to feed the animal, a person has to take care of the animal, a person has to groom the animal to be a karban to Hashem. A person has to invest of their time, their energy, and have a hishtatfus, have a involvement in the procurement of this karban. Another word for investment is sacrifice. A person has to sacrifice something. It doesn't make sense for the child to give back the $1 bills, but consider the following. What if the child takes those $15 bills and doesn't put an envelope to give back to the father? The child goes to the store and buys a pack of markers and construction paper and makes a card. Happy birthday, Abba. Love you very much. And gives it to the father. What happens then? Would the father say, but my money paid for those markers? No. The child took the father's money and invested something of his own creativity, his own involvement. He put his heart, avodah shebelev, the child put something of his own into that, and now it's a good avodah, now it's a good offering. Every karban, says the Meshech Chachma, has to have some human involvement. You can't just take Hashem's fruits and put it back on the Mizbeach. We never accept fruits on the Mizbeach as a karban. Even bikurim are eaten by the Kohanim, they're not offered burned on the Mizbeach. If we're going to offer grapes to Hashem, make it into wine first, be involved. We're going to offer flour, it's because we took the grain and ground it up. We're going to offer oil, because we took olives and crushed them. We have to have an involvement in all of our karbanos. All of karbanos have to be a sacrifice. Rav Hirsch didn't like the idea of calling a karban a sacrifice. Well, you know what? That builds kurva. If we sacrifice something, our creativity, our energy, we put something into the materials Hashem gave us. We don't just take them and re-gift them, bring it right back to him. We put something of our own into it. We show that we're interested and having a relationship with him. Rav Pinkus, in source number 21, explains at great length. I tried to cut out some of the pieces so it wouldn't take up the whole source sheet. Rav Pinkus has a beautiful idea where he talks about what exactly is the relationship, the love that comes forth in the karban. He says it's like giving flowers to somebody. What is the point of giving flowers to somebody? You don't eat the flowers, you don't use the flowers for anything. In case it wasn't clear, Rav Pinkus was a man. He says there's no purpose to having karbanos. Sorry, to having flowers and, by extension, karbanos. Does Hashem need the karbanos? Does the person who gets the flowers need the flowers? No. But you know what? It shows you're interested in having a relationship. You're investing. I took the time to go out to the store and pick the wrong flowers, but I went to the store to buy the flowers, to put it together, to make a card. And a karban is the same way. We have to invest ourselves of it. And Pinkus explains, it's also true with our time. Davening is a real time commitment. Often it means giving up on our sleep, giving up on other things that we do. We have to really commit ourselves. We have to sacrifice the other interests that we have to build a relationship. No one has ever built a relationship without putting in some time. But unfortunately, he points out, people often make a mistake. They say, why am I not attached to davening? Why don't I find davening meaningful? Well, he says, if you go to shul 5 minutes late, you don't even say karbanos. Davening is rushed. We come right in over there and say, Hashem, I have to come in late, leave early. I don't have time for any of this stuff. What does that show? What kind of investment is that? What kind of sacrifices are we not willing to make? Of course, in that case, we're not going to find davening meaningful. He has a funny expression over here where he writes, we rush in and we come in and we say, okay, I need life and refuah and shidduchim and good health and world peace. See ya. Stop. Pause for a moment. What are we saying? What are we davening? The part where it's bolded, he says, it's an insult to tell someone, I don't have time for you. I'm sorry, you're not worth my time. You're not worth sacrificing my other exciting expenditures I could be doing instead. You're not worth my time, you're not worth my energy. That's offensive. Where sacrifice becomes kurva, when we're willing to give up, whether it's investing creativity in the karban, in the tefillah, in the flowers, whatever it is we're doing, we're showing an interest in the relationship. So whereas Rav Hirsch did not like the idea of a karban being called an offering or being called a sacrifice, instead he preferred the root of the word kurva. The truth is that both of those words are ways in which our tefillah can be a step toward building a relationship with Hashem. Number one, the Maharal's idea about Yira, the idea of being Avdei Hashem, the Avoda is recognizing it all belongs to him and bringing the master his slippers, bringing the master whatever belongs to him, returning it to the master who already owns it. And tefillah is the same way, acknowledging it belongs to Hashem. And number two, this Meshech Chachma, the Rav Pinkus, the idea that tefillah is about love, not just Yira, it's both, Yira and Ava. Tefillah is about love, showing we're interested in relationship, we're willing to sacrifice, to invest ourselves, not just to hand back the dollars he gave us, but to buy a card, to make a card, to put in a heartfelt message, to do it in a way that shows we're interested in having a relationship. And just to end up with the final source on the sheet is the Aksav HaKabbalah, written 200 years ago, a very classic commentary on Chumash, of Yaakov Tzvi Mecklenburg. He writes, in this way we can explain a very common phrase, very troubling phrase, that's found by Karbanos, which is Reach Nichoach LaHashem. A karban smells oh so sweet to Hashem. Rav Hirsch wouldn't like that. What does that mean? Does he need it? What does it mean it smells good to Hashem? It's a very common phrase. The Aksav HaKabbalah explains so beautifully. You know what a smell is? A smell is just a little taste of what's to come. When you smell that meat cooking on the grill, or those muffins baking in the oven, whatever excites you, the smell is not the end goal. The smell is just to show that there's something delicious on its way. When a person is engaged in avoda, be it davening, or the real thing, or the big thing, of karbanos, either way, it's not the end goal. It's just a little taste, a little smell of what's to come. And that's nichoach l'Hashem. That's pleasant to Hashem. The thought of, we're building a relationship over here. You're acknowledging it all belongs to me. We're on the right path. You're showing you are investing yourself. You're sacrificing your time and your energy. You want a relationship with me. That's a reach nichoach l'Hashem. He's so excited. It's a show of a relationship on its way. It's not out of the oven yet. We're not there yet. But the karban, this is reach nichoach l'Hashem. This avoda is just a little taste of what's to come, the relationship that we are building. So, we started off tonight acknowledging that now during the 9 days is a perfect time to speak about what karbanos used to be and in what way tefillos are patterned after and helping us accomplish some of the same ideas. We talked about the idea of reading karbanos, the idea of reading the psukim that are in the siddur, the section of davening called karbanos, and coming to shul on time or to make the time in our homes. I'm not sure if women say karbanos, but just to look at them for a second, to get an impression of what it is we used to bring. But even if not, the actual amidah, the actual tefillah that we're so familiar with, is actually a karban in so many different ways. Like I mentioned before, how we stand, how we dress, how we talk, everything we do is really showing us that our tefillahs are really a karban. But like I mentioned before, tefillah has always been a mitzvah, even when it wasn't a formal mitzvah. It may have been patterned after karbanos as far as the details go, but the idea of calling out to Hashem, talking to Hashem, has always been a formal mitzvah that we're lucky to have. And now, trying to target it to see how we can use our tefillos as an avoda shebelev, as an avoda to help fill the gap of the karbanos that we daven so strongly to be returned. Karbanos help build a close relationship with Hashem. As Rav Hirsch explained, the root of the word karban is kurva, is to come close to Hashem. Whether it's karbanos, whether it's tefillos, our avoda is a way to come close to Hashem. Two ways, the Maharal's idea about acknowledging as an offering, as a gift to Hashem, showing it all belongs to Him, acknowledging when we daven that everything belongs to Hashem. And also, as Meshech Chachma explained, when we daven, we are investing ourselves, putting our creativity, putting our hearts, avoda shebelev, we are investing ourselves, we are making sacrifices. By taking the time to do it right, to daven, to show interest, we're looking to daven to close to Hashem. And these ideas that they inspire us to become better people, to become more aware of Hashem's gifts to us, to become more aware of the need for a relationship with Hashem, that is nichoach l'Hashem. That reach, a little taste of things to come, is also pleasing to Hashem. So hopefully during this time, as we start the 9 days, and God forbid we should have to celebrate Tisha B'Av next week, the way it is now, hopefully it'll become a yantiv where we have real karbanos. But for the time being, to use the fact that we're not having meat and wine for the next 9 days as a reminder of the fact that our tefillah is supposed to act as a karbon, supposed to act as a way of getting close to Hashem, to daven with humility, the way we stand. Let's pay attention to take the time to daven, to invest ourselves, to really daven with great sincerity and great interest in building a relationship. And that's what we are sacrificing when we daven to Hashem. Next week will be the conclusion of this series. As we bring it all home, hopefully next week we will be on our way to Yerushalayim to celebrate Tisha B'Av as a Yantiv. Either way, join us next week as we bring it all home and talk about the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash and why it is we crave Mashiach so much.